Of Revelation chapter 2, and I want us to look at the last phrase in verse 9. Jesus said, I know. I guess I got to wait till you get there. I've seen Brother Ralston do that, and I've been chewed out for not doing that. Revelation is the last book, in case you don't know where it's at. Amen. Second chapter, verse 9, last part of the verse. I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Verse 13, the first part of that, the first phrase says, I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. In the book of Corinthians, 11th chapter, about the 15th verse, amen, Paul tells us that Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Next verse says, no great marvel, for his ministers also are transformed as the ministers of righteousness. Church, I want you to know this morning that Satan has a church. Brother Daniel Dean, I'm not talking about the one where they worship the devil and give blood sacrifices and all of that. Amen. Many are called full gospel church. Many are called Pentecostal church. Many of Satan's synagogue is called free holiness churches. Now you're getting quiet on me. Amen. In chapter 17 of Revelation, beginning at the first verse, there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying, come, hither, and I'll show thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. The inhabitants of the earth have made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman set upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names, a blasphemy, having seven heads, ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones, pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abomination and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Amen. I want you to notice in verse 5, the mother of harlots. And Brother Mike, amen, when John seen her, he said, when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Brother Salters, I'm seeing many of our ministers looking at the harlot church with envy and admiration. And they want to be like her. But the angel wasn't too happy with John. Huh? The angel said to me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman. Amen. God help us. Amen. But still, folks stand in awe of the success that the harlot church is having. Amen, brother. Amen, brother. They want to be like them, do like them, go where they go, do what they do, because they got so many going. But I read in the next chapter, after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, has become the habitation of devils. Come on, church. Amen. Amen. And the hold of every foul spirit. and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. You know something? Folks can't even see the harlot church. They can't seem to discern the harlot church. Even though it's full of the devil, every foul spirit, every foul bird, every unclean thing, amen, they just can't see, amen, that it has become. It wasn't that at one time, but it is now. Huh? Come on, church. I know they started out right. He said, I planted thee a holy and a righteous seed, but thou art become an ungenerated, unclean plant. But they can't discern it. Why? Well, Solomon tells us why. I'm feeling better, Brother Neil. Not, you know. Solomon said, say to wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinsman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman. Huh? I'm preaching on the harlot church, in case you don't know this morning, the characteristics of the harlot church, amen. And from the stranger which flattereth with her word. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and behold, among the simple ones, I may be preaching on fools, amen. I discerned among the youth a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. Amen. This young man failed to discern the character of this woman. You know why? Because he was void of understanding. Amen. And I'm looking at a church world, Brother Fred, amen, that looks like it's lost all wisdom and all understanding, ready to accept anything and everything, my God in heaven, and don't even realize that they've joined up with the harlot church. Woo! Preach, buzzard. I'm going to. Amen. God in heaven, help us. Amen. Amen. It just looks like that old folks and young folks today, amen, are void of understanding. They can't seem to discern. They can't. And I looked and I said, oh God, what are we going to do? He said, you're going to preach on the harlot church. I said, God, that ain't how everybody else has preached in this camp meeting. He said, you never have preached like everybody else. Don't start now. And I'm not throwing rocks at anybody. I just happen to know that who I am and what God's called me to do. Amen. Woo! Sweet Lamb of God. That's why the Pharisees got mad at Jesus. He ripped the cloak off of them. God help us, amen. I feel like taking my time, but I don't know whether I ought to or not, amen. Amen. And now Solomon knew her exactly. He tells us exactly, explicitly, amen, just who she is and how to know her by. And I have a feeling that he knows it firsthand. I mean, with 700 wives and 300 concubines, he knows something about strange women, didn't he? In fact, I think every wife he had was a strange woman. Woo! One colored man said Solomon was a great farmer. He had 700 wives and 300 combines. That's about the most understanding some folks have of the Word of God. Amen. Come on, church. Amen. But Solomon knew her. Amen. He gives us explicitly, as plain as day. I mean, even if an Indian can understand that, you white folks ought to understand this English Bible. All right, very first thing he says, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot. Woo! It's not hard to spot the harlots of this world. Their attire is designed to excite the lust of the flesh and to draw attention Brother Ralston, the harlot church teaches that it doesn't matter what you look like on the outside as long as you got it on the inside. Wear whatever you want. It really don't matter. That's the harlot church. And the devil told me, said, you better leave that alone. I ain't going to. I told it here a year or two ago, or last year, I don't remember, don't matter if I did. I'm going to tell it again, because the Lord put it on my heart to do it. I heard Mr. Paul Harvey having a interview with the woman who brought in the split skirt. You're getting quiet on me. He asked her why. Or rather, he was reading a article about it, I think it was. I wished I'd have been taping it, amen, but I wasn't. But she said for hundreds of years, the male has been the sexual aggressor. And I know what he's talking about. When I was a kid, girls just sat back, fold her hand, and hoped. And if they got a little forward, nobody would talk to him in the whole school because that she was forward. Or that they just wouldn't do it. You wouldn't dare be seen with her because she was flirty. Huh? Oh, I know they had subtle ways. Amen. They got, whoo! My wife walked in the first time I ever seen her. No, not the first time I ever seen her, but when I seen her that summer. She walked in, bumped her head on the window. I wanted to say something to get her attention. I said, did you hurt the window? She decided she wanted to marry me and I wanted to marry her. Amen. But this woman said, for hundreds of years, the man has been the sexual aggressor in the relationship between man and woman. She said, the reason that I've designed this skirt is to show the man and give him a sign that I'm willing, ready, and able. That's what she said. I didn't say that. I know none of the women in this church or any other church has ever put that on with that in their mind. But sweet Lamb of God, when you walk into Walmart one and some man gives you the eye, don't get offended because you just give him the sign. Woo! Get out of the attire of the harlot church. Start dressing like a child of God. Look like a child of God. Be a child of God. Get out of the harlot church. Any church that does not preach a standard of holiness dress is of the harlot church. I'm here to tell you, they are the harlot church. Woo! Sweet Lamb of God, all this grunge stuff and all this loose branch bitches and half hanging down, my God in heaven. Amen. What Christian would ever want to walk into judgment looking like that? Come on, church. Even the world won't want to look like that. Amen. Jesus told us, you think it's not important. Jesus told us of a man that was found among the guests without the wedding garment on. He was cast into outer darkness simply because he was not dressed right. And you will be too. Come on, church. It's the harlot church that dresses like the world. I got other things to say. Amen. Well, it ain't going to fizzle out in 3 minutes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bible said she was subtle of heart. The Bible says, and it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. Amnon, the son of David, loved her. Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar. For she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimei, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. Now, Amnon knew this was wrong, what he was feeling in his heart. Yeah. The Bible said Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. He knew that he shouldn't feel this way. Amen. But, amen,
Brother Salters, day and night, he was vexed with this desire in his heart.
He was so vexed that he fell sick. But he couldn't see a way around it. But there was a friend. Friends like that, you don't need no enemies. Who is very subtle of heart. And Brother Hensley, he came to him. And he said to him, "Why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me?" Amnon said to him, "I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister." Did you catch his doctrine here? It's the doctrine of the harlot church. Why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Y'all are looking at me. That's their doctrine. Hey, you're the king's son. Woo! Why do you think that Benny Hinn, that's the right name for him because that's what he is, just a hen. Supposed to be a man, but he's a hen. He's teaching that he's a little God. And I said, "Lord, what in the world does he want to be a little God for?" He said, "Because the Bible said God cannot be tempted with sin. So whatever he wants to do, Brother Ralston, it's not a sin because he's God." Huh? That's the doctrine of the harlot church. You couldn't possibly have the wrong feeling in your heart. No, you're a child of God. Woo! Amen. And you can stand up and say, "I love everybody," because, amen, the Bible says God can't lie. So you can just tell that lie too. Amen. Come on, church. Come on, church. The doctrine of the harlot church is to do as you jolly well please. You couldn't possibly be wrong in carrying that grudge. That's not anger. That's righteous indignation. That's what I used to say when I blamed it on the Indian in me. God ripped that cloak off. Amen. Any church that does not teach self-denial and self-control, amen, of the flesh is a bona fide member of Satan's synagogue, the harlot church. Come here, church. You're not little gods. You're going to be tempted. You just heard the man preach that the enemy's going to come in. He is going to come. Amen. What do you think he's going to do when he gets there? Huh? He's going to tempt you. Amen. Come, you know why? Because you're still in the flesh. Not me, I'm sanctified. You find out whether you're sanctified or not. I better not get started on this, but I'm telling you, amen. Amen. God help us, amen. Some people say it's the devil that tempts us. That's a lie. The Bible didn't say that. The Bible said every man is tempted when he's drawn away of the lust of his own flesh. And that's what the Bible said, amen. And when lust has conceived, when you do what you feel like doing, he said it bringeth forth. I knew I was going to lose them things, amen. Ain't going to stop me though, amen. Come on, church, amen. Amen. And he said, when sin has come, when it's conceived, or when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. And then he gave us the most important verse in all of it. He said, "Do not err, my beloved brethren. You are going to be tempted. You ain't little gods. Amen. You ain't no kind of God." Paul said, "The life that I now live in this flesh, it ain't me living it. It's Jesus Christ in me that's living it. And that's the only reason you can live above sin, is because Jesus is in you. And if you ain't got him in you, you're going to be doing right along with the harlot church. You will be a member of the harlot church if you give in to the flesh." Woo!
God, help me. Amen. 8 hours, I'm not sure that's going to be long enough now. Amen. I'm feeling better, amen, about this whole thing. All right, the Bible said with their fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb. Her mouth is smoother than oil. Pretty slick, brother. Woo! Paul said, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which we have learned, and avoid them. For they are such that serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good works and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Paul said, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And Paul emphasized this emphatically. Amen, for he says it twice. Amen. And the Bible said in the book of Revelation, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book, this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. And now the holy city, and from the things that are written in this book. Now, I'm fully persuaded, and I may stir a little feathers this morning, but then that's what buzzards do, amen. I am fully persuaded this morning, amen, Brother Neil. I don't know how you feel about it, and I don't really care right now, amen. That those who are going to any amplified, revised editions of the Word of God are either taking away from the Word of God or adding to it. That's Leon Buzzard, amen. That's one reason I don't have no library except for a dictionary, a Cruden's Concordance, and a Strong's now, amen. That's the only reason. I know, brother, you're so spiritual. Well, I don't think I am. I have to ask God everything. I mean, sweet Lamb of God, if I don't know something in the Bible, I don't look to somebody to tell me. I go and say, God, what did you mean here? So far, he's just said, well, you little ignorant Indian, this is what that means. Come on, church. I had a preacher tell me, said, now, Brother Buzzard, you got to realize, hey, man, that the King James Version is another version of the Bible, and these others are so easier to understand than the King James Version. He said, in fact, it's just like reading the newspaper. I said, that's the only true thing you said. It is just like reading the newspaper and just as anointed as that newspaper. Thank you. I'll stay with the King James Version of the Bible. I don't care how slick their mouth is. I don't care how fair their speech is. If they're preaching out the revised edition, I don't want to hear it. Something else. I don't need the Baptist or anybody else to tell me how to raise my kid. Amen. Or whatever. I don't need nobody. Come on now. The Bible's full of it. Amen. If I can't take the Word of God for it, then sweet Lamb of God ought to do something about not having any kid. I said that wrong, but that's all right. The wife will tell me about it later. I know we all have personal convictions. I'm not against personal convictions. The Bible says if any man esteem a thing to be unclean, unclean. I mean, if you think it's wrong to drink pop, do without. Huh? Hope you don't get offended, but to me, I have esteemed pink shirts as unclean for Leon Buzz. Wife don't like that. She thinks I look good in them. I don't like it. I don't wear it neither. That's me, though. I mean, that's me. I know that's me. I'm not trying to put that on you. You want to look girlish? Go ahead. I mean, woo! I said that at Brother Don's church, Don Ingram up there, and he was wearing a purple jacket, one of them. Brother Austin, he throwed that thing off. He said, I ain't no queer. I seen him up in Jersey, he had it back on. He turned this as red as he could, and he said, don't say a word. That's my conviction. You got some convictions that I don't think much about. Never did bother me, amen. Come on here. Huh? I know you have, amen. But I'm not going to stand behind the pulpit and tell you that this is what God said for everybody to do. Amen. That right there puts me in the harlot church. Come on now, Brother Mark, that puts me in the harlot church. When I go to teaching my conviction as the commandments of God. He said, when you teach for doctrine the commandments of men, you make void the word of God and the promises of God. Amen. Come on, church. I got a right to believe what I believe. But it's for Leon Buzzard. It ain't for you or anybody else. Unless,
people talk to me about things they believe in. Amen. Thank God. Amen. I'm glad. Amen. That they did. I got to thinking about it. I thought, that's not bad. I believe I'd be better off doing that than I am what I'm doing now.
I'm not going to be like my cousin, George Davis. Some of you know George. I got on to him because he's drinking, Pepsi so much. I mean, in Oklahoma, that's tearing his hide up. Amen. Hey, man, Brother Jeff, he got in the meeting one night and he said, y'all be glad to hear I've quit Pepsi. They went to shouting and running all over the place. Hey, man, when he calmed down, he said, I went to RC. Bless God. Hey, man, I had a young preacher come by. He said, I'm going with the strict crowd. I'm going to give up coffee. I'm going to give up tea. I'm going to give up pop. I'm going to do it. I said, now you better be sure. He said, I'm going to do it. Yeah. Amen. It wasn't 3 weeks. He came back and said, Brother Leon, I think I made a mistake. What do you think? I said, you made a vow to God and you better not pick him up anymore. You're right. Better leave him alone. Right. He said, I made a mistake. I said, the Bible said, don't do that. Right. If you make a vow to God, don't say you made a mistake. Right. Lest he be angry with thee and destroy thee. Right. I said, leave it alone. You go to hell over it. Come on, church. If you make a vow to God, don't quit it. I don't care how slick the tongue is. I don't care how oily it is. I don't care what kind of reason they give you. If you made a promise to God, you better hang on to that. I don't care if it is unreasonable. And a lot of us preachers have put ourselves in a tight spot. Woo! I said we put ourselves in a tight spot. Huh? Amen. Some of them was wearing wedding bands and they vowed they numb. And then they got to see where they was wrong. Amen. So they pulled them off and they said, what am I going to do? I said, well, amen, pull them off yourself. But you ain't got no right to stand in the pulpit and get on nobody. Come on, church. Now don't quit me here on this. I'm just telling you, amen, we got to be careful about what we say to God. And the harlot church will talk you out of your vows to God, talk you out of the things that you told God. That she's going to do and would do and live by. And she'll talk you out of it. Oh, yeah. Oh, now you don't have to do that. That ain't for our day. God didn't mean for you to go around like this. Looking like granny. It stirs my heart up. It tears me up. Yeah. Amen. To see the holiness movement going like it's going. Yes, we're going that way. We're accepting anything and everything. Just a little at a time. A little bit at a time. You know, the devil found something out, Brother Dean, when Israel moved into Canaan land. God said, I'll move them out a little by little. You'll be singing a different tune when he gets through with you. Amen. Then the Bible said her ways are movable, that they canst not know that thou canst not know them. The harlot church teaches and preaches whatever folks want to hear. They don't stand against anything. They don't stand for nothing. Just have you feel. I was listening to the radio and they was interviewing Mr. Graham. You know which one I'm talking? You know the most. Yeah, okay. You got him. And they was asking him about different things. And Brother Junior, they asked him, said, how was it when you first got in? He said, oh, when I first got in, I was a fundamentalist. And so they want to know what that was. So he told them, well, back then we believed that the Bible meant what it said, and it said what it meant. I said, sweet Lamb of God, I thought I was holiness, but I'm fundamental. I'm fundamental holiness, that's what I am. Because I still believe the Bible means what it says and says what it means. I don't believe it means anything else but what it does say. And they said, what are you now? And Brother Fred, he said one of them long words like that. I never could remember what it was, but he said it. And the interviewer said, what in the world is that? He said, oh, we of the ministry have learned that in order to win the crowd, we must preach the things that the crowd loves to hear. I said, I hope I ain't like the apes and evolved or revolved or whatever they're supposed to have done. I hope I don't never evolve into the harlot church. Huh? Come on, church. Come here, church. Amen. I'm telling you, amen. Amen. Her ways are movable. You don't. They asked Benny Hinn here a while back. Hey, man, they said, when you first started, you preached this. Now you're preaching that. It's the exact opposite. He said, I'll have you know I'm God, and I can't lie. So what I'm telling today is the truth, and what I was saying back there was the truth. Anything I want to be truth is truth. How stupid can you be? Well, he's stupid. Amen. Bible said, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which right in his own eyes. A sure sign of the harlot church. The Bible says, for Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He don't change. The Bible says, be not carried away with divers and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace and not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. The Word of God, the Bible said, is forever settled in heaven. And it ain't going to change for you, and it ain't going to change for me. I don't care if I'm an Indian, you're a white man, or you're a colored man. It's still going to require of you the same thing that it required of me and every other child of God that's in here this morning. Come out from the world and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Leave it alone. Woo! Amen. The harlot church is as unstable as water. And its ministers are mealy-mouthed, yellow-bellied cowards. The Bible said of God's ministers, they shall teach my people the difference between holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the clean and the unclean and the clean. Now, if your preacher ain't drawing the line, get you another preacher or get you another church. Come on, church. I don't want to go to no church where the preacher... I don't know. How do you feel about it? Come on. The laity don't know how they're supposed to feel about it. You're supposed to tell them how they feel about it. Well, Brother Buzzard, I think it could be this way or that way. That don't make no difference. God covered that too. He said, and in controversy. Woo! In controversy. Write to Ann Landers. No. Go see a psychiatrist. No, it didn't say that neither. In controversy, they, the ministry, shall stand in judgment, and they shall judge it according to my judgment. Years ago, Brother Dean, I preached against TV maybe more than I do now. I don't get on it as often. But when I do, I just well plow it out. You know how that is. But I had a man in the church that couldn't read, and so he had one. I mean, the devil's going to find a reason before you have one. I mean, it used to be, oh, I just watch Oral Roberts, and I said, that's the best reason in the world not to have one. Because Oral's on it. And he said to me, he said, now, Brother Buzzard, you said that you never preach anything you can't back up with the Word of God. He said, next Sunday morning, if you preach against TV from the Bible, I'll give mine up. The best tithe payer, too, you know. Of course, the tithe wasn't running over $50 a month, something like that. I had a great job, though. I was making $180 a month. Amen. And, well, I'm here, ain't I? I made it. So all week, Brother Jeff, I studied and I looked through my Concord and I couldn't find Thou Shalt Not Watch TV. I mean, I couldn't find it. Saturday night, I was desperate. I said, God, what am I going to do? And the Lord spoke to me and said, preach on the penny. I said, God, you misunderstood. He said, I said, preach on the penny. I looked through the Word and I seen where Jesus called for one. I said, if anybody knows about the penny, he will. So I went, and Brother Junior said, bring me a penny. And he said, whose inscription and whose image is on this penny? He said, Caesar's. And he said, render to Caesar that which is Caesar's, and render to God that which is God. Sweet Lamb of God, did I get to preach on TV. What's on it? What's its image there? Huh? What's the inscription on them books you're reading? Hey, come here, church. Hey, man, he said, in controversy, the ministry will decide. Come on, preachers. That's your job. I said, that's your job. If you're too yellow back to do it, hang your Bible up and quit. Get out of the ministry. You ain't got no business in it. If you ain't going to take a stand for the Word of God, and for holiness and righteousness, get out. You're a disgrace. Amen to God. You don't belong to Holiness Church. You don't belong to any church but the Harlot Church. Well, I'm preaching too long, ain't I? Thank you. Amen. Your church don't name sin and draw the line between the holy and the unholy. Get out of it. I won't be in the heart of church when Jesus comes. I said, I don't want to be in no heart of church when I don't want to be in the wrong place when he comes. I don't think you're going. I had some folks that come to my meeting at Mount Tabor every year from Ohio. I know you know brother, he won't care for me telling it. He said tell it. I know some of you know Brother John Winkler. Honest John. Amen. And he'd been going to a certain church, and he come there and he said, Brother Leon, I had to quit there. They was doing this and that. And he said, where are you going? He said, I'm going over here. And I said, you told me that so-and-so was pastor in that church. He said, well, he still is. And I said, you told me that he had a TV. He said, he does. I said, still got it? Yes, and you're paying your tithes? Well, I always pay my tithes where I go. I said, John, hey, man, you sung every year in our camp meet, but you ain't singing this year. And his wife said, I told you, John.
Next morning, brothers, I swear to you, I'll never go there again. I said, sing for us, John, sang. Come on, church. We got to draw the line somewhere. My daughter was a piano player at our church. We didn't have no piano except for her. Brother Hensley, she cut her hair and trimmed it, bang. I took her off the piano bench. The laity said, Brother Buzzard, let her play. I said, we don't need a piano player that bad. Draw the line, church. My oldest daughter married a man that wore earrings and long hair on the back. She said, Daddy, will you marry us? I said, never. Will you give me away? No. Are you coming to the wedding? I said, no. She said, Daddy, I want you to come. I said, no, you don't. I said, when that man said, can any man stand here and stand up and say and give just cause why these two may not be joined in holy matrimony, let him speak now forever, hold his peace. I said, you think this Indian's going to sit there while my daughter, amen, marries something like that and not say a word? She said, Daddy, I guess you don't want to come. Where are you going to draw the line? If it's little John and Susie, you're going to let it go? Come on, church. Amen. If you're the harlot church, you let everything and anything get by. Right. Wife, have you got the car started? Then the Bible said that she said, come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves, L-O-V-E-S, plural. More than one kind. That's what the dictionary said. The harlot church has sanctioned lesbianism, homosexual, and bestiality. Ordaining these vile creatures, that's the only word I know, as ministers in their church, and then have the audacity, amen, Brother Neil, to say, amen, and stand in their pulpit and state that the Word of God, amen, amen, does not condemn them at all. No scripture against it, they say. What a lie. In Leviticus, thou shalt not lie with man as with womankind. It's abomination. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself. Therewith neither shall any woman stand before the beast, a beast, to lie down thereto. It is abomination. Is that plain enough? I don't have to expound on that. Huh? Come on, church. But we got some of these yellowback, mealy-mouthed preachers. Brother Buzzard, that's in the Old Testament. So what? It's in the Bible. All scriptures given by inspiration of God. Amen. It's profitable to preach it. That ain't plain enough for you. Listen to what Paul had to say about it. Woo. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. You know, you got to kick God out before you can do something like that. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wicked covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, amen, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, amen, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only to do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Whew. Was that plain enough? Amen. The Bible said, wherefore so God also gave them to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and say, served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use of their body, which is against nature. You wasn't born that way. I said, you wasn't born that way if you're that away. I hope there ain't none of them here, but if you are, you wasn't born that way. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meat. Now, is that plain enough? It's the harlot church who take pleasure in them that do such things. Huh? If your hero's a queer, my friend, you're in trouble. I don't care if he's making $16 billion a year throwing a basketball at a hoop or throwing a football or hitting a baseball. If he's a queer, my God in heaven, and you got him up there, hey man, did you know you're made partaker of his evil deeds? Woo! Preach, preacher! I'm telling you, church, we got to come out of that. You got to leave that. It's the harlot church. Let me try to get you done here. You may think you've been done for a while. Well, it takes longer to cook a buzzard than it does a turkey, I'll tell you. With their much fair speech, he caused them to yield, and he goeth after a straight way as an ox goeth to the slaughter. Hebrews tells us, amen, in chapter 10, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Now, Satan is pushing the philosophy that says it's better to go to some church than not to go at all. That's pure hogwash. Had a man in the church once. He had several children. Every one was in a different church. Amen. And one day when I was teaching Sunday school, he started in. He said, I told my children, if you're going to be a Baptist, be a good one. If you're going to be a Presbyterian, be a good one. And he kept on. I was a pastor, I was trying to be nice. I really was. And then Brother Ross pretty soon looked at me and said, ain't that right, preacher? And I said, no, it's not. I'd rather that my child be an outright sinner than the best Baptist, Presbyterian, or whatever you want to name, walking. Because they believe they're all right, and they ain't. Now you're quiet. Well, you all may be helping me move to Oklahoma. The Bible said, let not thine heart decline to go her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she has cast down many strong men, and many has cast down many, and strong men have been slain. I've seen it happen time and time again. I've had evangelists tell me, I have better revivals among the worldly church than I do the holy church. I said, what? What? Now, I want to tell you something. If I get a chance to preach at the Catholic church, I'm going. I may never get there again, but I'm going that time. And I have preached for the Baptist church, you know, some over in Alabama. Amen. Come on, church. I'll preach anywhere I can. But I ain't going to walk in the path they're walking in. I ain't going to take up their ways. Come on, church. Amen. Amen. The only way they're ever going to get out of it is for somebody to tell them the truth. First time I was asked to go north and preach, sweet Lamb of God. I went up there and I got to the pastor's house. And if I named him, you all would know it. I ain't gonna. But anyhow, I went up there, and he was the youth leader over the Ohio Valley thing. And he wanted me to preach a meeting, and then Friday night, the youth riders to be at Brother Benny Southern. Benny Southern had just took the church. He hadn't been there. That was his first. I mean, he just got there. So you know how long ago it was. Amen. And I went there, and that night before we went to church, I seen that he was walking the floor, and he's looking there. I said, "Brother, what's the trouble?" He said, "Well, I got something I need to say to you, and I really don't have to say." I said, "I'm from Oklahoma. We don't pull no punches. Hit me." He said, "Well, Brother Buzzard, I heard you preach at Bristow, and I wanted you." He said, "But I wanted to tell you that you can't preach holiness here in Ohio like you do in Oklahoma." I said, "Is that right?" He said, "That's right." I said, "Why don't you just hide and watch?" That night I preached holiness as hard as I knew how. He hid behind the piano and watched. 4 nights in a row, amen. The old people in church, I mean the old ladies, come up to me, tears running down their cheeks. Buzzer, we hadn't heard nothing like this in 25 years. I preached it harder the next night. And them old ladies just sat there and waved their hands. Preacher hid behind the piano. That night I told him, I said, "I'm going home." He said, "You can't go home. You're supposed to preach tomorrow night over at Dryden Road." I'd been there one time when I was at Chester Tales meeting. I preached for Brother Wendell Pittman. Amen. There wasn't nobody there but me and Wendell, his wife, and four other people in that big church, Lord. And I said, I don't have to do nothing. I said, "I'm going home." He looked at me and said, "Brother Buzzard, it's already announced you got to go." And I said, "I don't got to do anything." I said, "I want to tell you something. I don't believe God's ever been above the Mason-Dixon line. I don't believe he knows where this place is at." Woo! I went upstairs and I said, I spun to him. I said, all right. I promised you I would or will. I went upstairs and I said, "God, where are you?" And that's what I went to Brother Benny's church and preached on. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Sweet Lamb of God, Benny had a running fit. Everybody else had a running fit. And I said, "Sweet Lamb of God, God is in Ohio." Huh? Then I found out he was really there. I mean, I went to other places where he was. I preached over from Brother Collins. I seen him there. Come on, church. I preached for the big man up there, Brother Miller. Man, we had a great revival. Woo! I mean, we had a revival. Amen. Amen. I mean, God, I mean, he's up there. He's everywhere. Amen. But what I'm telling you is the harlot church. Amen. If you go her way, you won't ever find him. I don't care if you're in South Georgia. You won't feel nothing. Everybody else will be shouting and running, and you'll be sitting there looking around wondering what in the world is going on here. Woo! I've got no time for the harlots of this world, I want to tell you for sure. And I got even less time for the harlot church. Come on now, if you're in one, you best get out, because the Bible said her house is the way to hell. But Brother Buzzer, Mom and Dad are charter members and Uncle John gave the lot. I don't care what they done. If it's a harlot church, you better get out of it. I found only one message here for those that are in the harlot church. Come out of her, my people. Don't play with the harlot church. Can I give you an Indian proverb and wind it up? Years ago, and maybe even on some reservation, when a boy became about 14 or 15 years old, his father would send him out somewhere, amen, a secluded place. You can see I'm tired, it's ready to quit now. and would tell him that he had to fast for so many days until he had a dream. See, when a child was born in the Indian tribe, he was called some name, but it didn't mean nothing, because when he turned 14, he could go have a dream. And then that would be his name. That's why they dream of a running bear. That's what he'd be running bear. You understand what I'm saying? So this young boy went out, and he climbed a pretty good-sized mountain, amen, and up on the peak. He built his little fire, and he fasted 15, 16, 17 days. I don't know how long it was. And he had his dream. And the next morning when he was ready to go, it had snowed during the night. Just a skip. So he put out his fire and got all ready to go back home. Amen. And as he started down the mountain, he heard a voice saying, "Help me. Please help me." He looked around, couldn't see nobody. So he investigated and he found under a bush a rattlesnake. And the rattlesnake said, "I got caught up here and I'm going to die in the cold if you don't take me down where it's warm." He said, "I know what you are. You're a rattlesnake. You'll bite me." He said, "No, I won't bite you. I promise you I won't bite you." "No, you're rat. I'm not going to touch you." He said, "I promise you if you'll take me down, all the rattlesnakes, we won't bite anybody in your tribe." And promises he made. And finally, the boy was convinced, and he picked the snake up and put him inside of his jacket, fastened it, and down the mountain he went. Brother Ralston, they say when he got to the bottom of the mountain, he opened his jacket up, whatever he was wearing, blanket, probably blanket, I don't know. But he pulled the snake from out around him, and as he pulled him out, the snake bit him. As he laid on the ground, dying in agony, he said, "You promised me that you wouldn't bite me." And the snake looked at him and said, "You knew what I was when you picked me up. Don't mess with the harlot church. It will bite you. I don't care what they promise, they will bite you."